Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We are excited about our audience on Christian Television Network, all the way from Pascagoula, Mississippi to Sandestin, Monday through Friday, every day at 5 o'clock. We also want to welcome all of those that are listening and all across the nation and the world. We love your comments. We love your posts on social media and just interacting with you. We have an exciting program for you today. Don't forget that we are two programs back to back. And if you miss us, you can always go to VFNTV.com and get more. But on today's program, we're going to continue our conversation, Pat, on great little book written by Newt Gingrich called Rediscovering God in America. This has been just an awesome, awesome little thing here because he talks about how many times, you know, you'll hear in the news, you know, or hear from people that God can't be in the public square. And you're going to find out through these monuments that God has always been all over the public square from the beginning. And so we're going to continue talking about that today. We're also going to be talking about how the Navy, someone in the Navy who was not in leadership, and they were lower in, I don't want to say rank, but lower in authority, I guess, made the executive decision to remove the Bible out of lodge, basically a place where they're supposed to be kept, and senior leadership said, "Oh, no, put those back. Put those back." So we're going to talk more about that. But there's, you know, would you imagine there's a war on the Bible, trying to get the Bible out of certain places in the hands of the military? Imagine that. Mm. We're also going to be sharing how a Mississippi lawmaker is using the Bible to help influence members of Congress. Real exciting, exciting things. Of course, we're going to be sharing some abiding moments. It's not personal, it's spiritual. You ever heard that saying? People say it's not personal, it's business. Well, you're going to find out that it's not personal, it's spiritual. It really is. And Steve's going to be talking to us about Rick Joyner's book, The Harvest, and the power and the importance of abiding. And so you don't want to miss that. But we want to get started today in talking about our continuation conversation about this book written by Newt Gingrich, Rediscovering God in America. We've been talking about how in history, you know, we have seen that they've taken God out of, you know, school and prayer. Mm-hmm. They've taken Ten Commandments off of, you know, the walls in the courtroom.
Right.
They've banned prayer and high school functions, whether it be a commencement, graduation. And you're just seeing this attack on the church. You're seeing this attack on God. I mean, they say that God's not allowed in the public square. So every time during the Christmas holiday where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, in God we trust.
Right.
You know what I mean? They say that you can't have a nativity scene outside of these federal buildings because the separation between church and state, which is a whole completely different issue, but you can't have it. It's just unconstitutional. You just can't have it, and they make this big push. Well, you're going to find that as we are finding that that means there'll be a whole lot of monuments that would have to be scraped off of Washington D.C., which is the District of Columbia. Did you know that?
I heard of that somewhere.
Yeah, I heard of that. I heard that somewhere. Yeah, it's there. It's District of Columbia.
Is that what's up?
Mm-hmm.
America.
In America, yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, you're going to find out that the scripture is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue because we talked about the National Archives. By the way, when you walk into the National Archives, one of the first things you see are the Ten Commandments in bronze. How awesome is that?
Wow.
I mean, our laws are based off of the Ten Commandments, but we're gonna jump right into the second one, and that is the Washington Monument. This is what George Washington said. "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey His will." First president. And we've talked a lot about George Washington. He was an amazing man.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. He was an amazing general. And what he did with a ragtag, you know, soldiers was amazing. And we have a lot of, we hold a lot of gratitude for this man and his leadership, because this was the test, you know. Mm-hmm. They wanted him to become president, and he didn't have to turn over this power.
Actually, they tried to make him king.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't think so.
So he settled to be president, mm-hmm. and he let the transition of power occur, which was mm-hmm. which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But you know, we talked about how he swore when he took his oath, rather, back in 1789. He had the Bible turned open to the book of Deuteronomy, mm-hmm. chapter 28, which is the chapter of blessing and cursing, which is beautiful.
Powerful.
And we'll get a chance to make sure that that's related there for you. But after the oath was, you know, he said his oath, he said, "So help me God," and took the Bible and kissed it. This is George Washington, mm-hmm. first inaugural, you know, address. He took his oath. And this is what he said when he was sharing, you know, our indebtedness to the Creator. He said, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency." And this is a beautiful thing, because when you talk about the Washington Monument, I was surprised what I found out. Mm-hmm. This monument that's in, and we have a picture for you so that you can see. This was basically started, the construction of this monument was started back in 1848.
Wow.
Okay? It wasn't completed until 1884, 36 years.
Wow.
It took to and what happened is that they ran out of funding a lot. They just ran out of funding, and finally the government just stroke a check at that time for $2 million and mm-hmm. basically got it done.
Mm-hmm.
But it took 36 years to get this thing completed, and they started designing it back, I believe, in 1733. So this was like a long
wow.
process. Yeah, mm-hmm. this was huge. And, you know, she's thinking, wow, that is absolutely amazing. But it took place, happened, actually it was designed in 1783, not 33. Well, they finally got it done. And you'll be surprised to know that at the very top, December 6, 1884, it was actually completed. And it was the day that a capstone was placed on top of it. You see the very tippy top. I was there. Actually, that's where I was at my small men's group for this Stand in the Gap in Washington, D.C., when a million men went to
down
pray.
At the bottom?
Yeah, I was there. I was mm-hmm. there.
See, way in the back.
Yeah, see, it was mm-hmm. you know, I guess God orchestrated that.
Yeah,
see,
in
the back. But I was there.
Because you were late.
Well, I was with my small men's group. I was.
You were all late.
Yes, Pat, we were. But I was there. I was there. And actually, that was surrounded. There was about, had to be at least 30,000-40,000 people mm-hmm. right around the men at the mm-hmm. at the Washington Monument. And it's a amazing structure. But at the very, very top of that structure, they placed an aluminum capstone.
Mm-hmm.
And on that capstone, on the east side, there are two words that are written there. Laios Deos. Laios Deos, which means praise be to God.
Wow.
Who knew?
How about that?
Who knew that it said praise be to God at the very tippy top of, I believe, the highest monument in D.C.? Praise be to God is on the capstone. And I thought that was absolutely awesome. Also, in the capstone, the cornerstone that was laid, there was some interesting things that were laid inside the capstone. One, there was a Bible that was inside the capstone, the cornerstone, which was from the Bible Society. They donated that alongside of a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution.
Mm.
Right there,
oh, wow.
Right there inside the cornerstone. And when you walk inside the monument, the book continues to share that there is a plaque from the Free Press Methodist and Episcopal Church. There's also a prayer offered by Chinese Christians. Amazing.
Really?
Who would have thought that? And check this out, that there are carved tribute blocks in the Washington Monument that have these words inscribed in them. One of them has holiness to the Lord. Mm. Another one says, search the scriptures. Another one says, the memory of the righteous is blessed. It's all inscribed. May heaven to this union continue its benefits. In God we trust. Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. All of these are just inscribed in the stones there. Wow. It's just beautiful. And it's like, who knew? Mm-hmm. Who knew? So this whole thing that God can't be in the public square and there's a separation, I don't think so. look what we have in a monument dedicated to George Washington. And the author continues to write that there are reports that George Washington wasn't very outspoken about his Christian faith, and they quote his step granddaughter Nellie Custis, as she wrote in Washington's biography. This is what she wrote. It was his custom to retire to his library at 9 or 10 o'clock, where he remained an hour before he went to his chamber. He always rose before the sun and remained in his library until called to breakfast. I never witnessed his private devotions. I never inquired about them. I should have thought it the greatest heresy to doubt his firm belief in Christianity. His life, his writings prove that he was a Christian. He was not one of those who act or pray that they may be seen of men. He communed with his God in secret. Mm-hmm. And this was written by his step-granddaughter, Nellie Custis. It was just pretty interesting to see that. And when you look at it, you think, wow, man, this is so amazing, because what you're seeing is a huge attack on the church, is everything that you can see to separate the whole connection that our country was mm-hmm. founded on Christian, mm-hmm. Principles, on the Word of God, on people coming out here to worship God freely, mm-hmm. the Jews and the Christians. I mean, it was King Ferdinand who expelled the Jews out of Spain, and they came over looking, they helped fund a Christopher Columbus voyage to America to find them a place where they can worship. Many people don't know that. The Puritans came here looking mm-hmm. for a place where they can serve God. And you may not know this, but it was George Washington, who also proclaimed the first National Day of Thanksgiving in the United States. Mm. Okay, this was done in 1795, and he offered a proclamation of prayer and thanksgiving to the nation. Wow. And I'm gonna read you his proclamation, because it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But we want you to hear it, because it's important. This is so good. Listen to this. When we review, actually, you know what? When we get right back from this break, we're going to share with you the proclamation, because you got to hear this. It's going to encourage you, because listen, we need to be thankful to God. Hear people say, God bless America. Listen, God's already blessed America. It's time mm-hmm. for America to bless God. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Conflict in your marriage must mean you have problems, because a healthy marriage doesn't have conflict, right? Well, not so much. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Dr. Greg Smalley challenging that myth.
I think that so many people perceive conflict as negative, that if we fight, if we argue, it means there's something wrong, versus they don't get that conflict can actually be the doorway into a deeper relationship, a deeper connection. I mean, think about that. When we argue and fight, if we can learn how to do that in a way, it's like it can take us to a deeper level of understanding. There's things that I've learned about my wife that I never would have learned had it not been for that we were in the middle of an argument.
Even though it might seem right, avoiding conflict hinders your ability to truly know your spouse. For more trusted advice for your relationship, stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I like to have a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on
the podcast.
Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
That's a CD.
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me from the break is Pat
interesting
and
look.
Steve.
Did you forget already?
No, I didn't, but you know.
We're here to support.
Thank you. Appreciate that. The producer is producing. Before our break, we were talking about we're talking about George Washington and the Washington Monument. And man, it's amazing. You know, George Washington had the Bible open to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 when he took office. And Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, "If you will fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth." This was the foundation, the very first inaugural address, the very first president of the United States, and this is what he does. And after that, he kisses the Bible, and he says, "So help me God." And that's what we need. We need God again in our nation, and we need to just, you know, say, we want to turn from these ways and say, "God, we want the blessing of the Lord remain on our land." And this is what George Washington proclaimed on the very first day of Thanksgiving in the United States in 1795. He gave this proclamation. I want to read it to you because it's so powerful. He says, "When we review the calamities which afflict so many other nations, the present condition of the United States affords much matter of consolation and satisfaction. Our exemption hitherto from foreign war, an increasing prospect of the continuance of that exemption, the great degree of internal tranquility we have enjoyed, the recent confirmation of that tranquility by the suppression of an insurrection which so wantonly threatened it, and the happy course of public affairs in general, the unexampled prosperity of all classes of our citizens, are circumstances which peculiarly mark our situation with indications of the divine benefits toward us. In such a state of things, it is in a special manner our duty as a people, with devout reverence and affectionate gratitude, to acknowledge our many and great obligations to Almighty God, and to implore Him to continue and confirm the blessings we experience." Deeply penetrated with this sentiment, I, George Washington, the President of the United States, do recommend to all religious societies and denominations, and to all persons whomsoever within the United States, to set apart and observe Thursday, the 19th day of February, next, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. And on that day, to meet together and render their sincere and hearty thanks to the great ruler of nations for the manifold and signal mercies which distinguish our lot as a nation, particularly for the possession of the constitution of government, which unite and by their union establish liberty with order for the preservation of our peace, foreign and domestic, for the seasonable control which has been given to a spirit of disorder in the suppression of the late insurrection, and generally for a prosperous course of our affairs, public and private, and at the same time, humbly and fervently to beseech the kind author of these blessings graciously to prolong them to us, to imprint on our hearts a deep and solemn sense of obligations to him for them, to teach us rightly to estimate the immense value, to preserve us from the arrogance of prosperity and from hazarding the advantages we enjoy by delusive pursuits, to dispose us to merit the continuance of his favor, not by abusing them, by our gratitude for them, and by a correspondent conduct as citizens and men to render this country more and more safe and a propitious asylum for the unfortunate of other countries, to extend among us true and useful knowledge, to diffuse and establish habits of sobriety, order, morality, and piety, and finally, to impart all the blessings we possess or ask for ourselves to the whole of mankind. This is George Washington's proclamation for the first day of Thanksgiving and prayer. And you think about Thanksgiving today, for many of us, the church is exactly what we do. It's a time for us to, it's my favorite holiday. I mean, one of my favorite holidays. So I love Christmas and remembering Jesus, but right there with it is Thanksgiving, because it really, it's a wonderful time to reflect and to thank the Lord for everything that he has done and what he has provided for us, and all the many blessings that we enjoy. And it's a beautiful thing. And we celebrate it with a huge meal, and we leave stuff. Then we had to explain this Thanksgiving celebration that we have in the United States to someone from another country, and they were like, interesting. I remember that conversation. But this is a wonderful time. We have a something we want you to see, because at the same time, you know, if you remember not too long ago, there was an earthquake that happened in Virginia that actually was felt all the way from Virginia, all the way. I felt it in New Jersey in my building. I had to evacuate at the time. But you will see that the Washington Monument actually suffered some damage. We want you to see inside the Washington Monument and what has occurred since then. Watch this.
It is 100,000 tons of solid rock, the anchor of the nation's capital, massive and unshakable, until 1:51 p.m. on August 23, 2011. A 5.8 magnitude earthquake in nearby Virginia literally shifted the Washington Monument. Dozens of tourists were caught at the top. As stones cracked and crumbled, the building held strong. Everyone made it out safely. But as Interior Secretary Sally Jewell and Park Service Director John Jarvis explain, the damage was severe.
Most of the damage was near the top.
At the top, obviously, because it magnified as it went up.
There's one little spot where the monument just shifted a little bit, you know, a half inch or 5/8 of an inch, as the whole thing above it just...
Park police immediately surveyed the monument by air and discovered multiple dislodged stones and cracks, one 4 feet long. They brought in engineers who rappelled from the top for an even closer look. Their findings triggered a massive restoration project that's lasted nearly 3 years. And for the first time, with repairs now complete, the Park Service took us inside Washington's most iconic landmark.
So you obviously are not afraid of heights.
555 feet, 55 stories to the top. Today, the debris is gone. Cracks are filled, joints reinforced.
And so that is that is typical.
Huge.
As you see, the forces that were on the stone. So a lot of the stone repairs are pretty subtle, and the public won't really be able to pick them up unless they're specifically looking for them.
The repairs were done with a sense of purpose. The monument is a powerful symbol of democracy.
The March on Washington.
It's had a role in almost every historic event in Washington, from the struggle for civil rights to protests over Vietnam to the inauguration of President Obama. And inside at the top, you can see the very structure of government.
So you can get an iconic view, whether it's Arlington Cemetery or the White House or the Lincoln Memorial or the Capitol. So it's all of those views.
Views that come with daunting challenges when you're in a one-of-a-kind building. You can't access the monument from any given floor, so crews had to build special scaffolding, complete with an elevator.
We were up here on the scaffolding with the workers. They were learning along with the Park Service on what techniques would work to repair this. What could we do that wouldn't damage the stone?
But the biggest challenge was money. The Park Service needed help, and billionaire investor David Rubenstein gave it.
The federal government can't really do what it used to be able to do.
Rubenstein donated $7.5 million, half of the project's cost, to get the work done and done right.
I've tried to call what I've done patriotic philanthropy, which is to say, try to give back to your country in any way you can, and that's part of what I tried to do with the Washington Monument.
Thank you, Mr. Rubenstein.
How about that?
My goodness, wow. An investment into getting the Washington Monument back. Very interesting.
He wouldn't have to be Jewish, would he?
Well, hey, you know, Rubenstein, could be. Very, very interesting. And it's amazing how good, you know, God is and how things kind of work together. But also, maybe it's a prophetic picture of the foundation of America being put back together again and looking forward to the day of a third great awakening. We have ways to go. I mean, we have to acknowledge that we have left as a nation God and we left his ways, but there's still hope for America. There's still hope for America. We can turn, and it starts with the church. It starts with you and me. If my people who are called by his name, right, will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then what? God will hear us and heal our land. And I'm going to tell you, we can have a third great awakening again, and God can restore America so that she can continue to be, right, the city on the hill and continue to reach multitudes for him as we have launched so many missionaries all around the world from this land. Let's do it. Let's turn back to God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're tired of religion, think about this. If you're tired of all these mechanisms and supporting these ziggurats and these all these things going on, if you're ready to get into the kingdom, you know, find someone who's hearing from God. Find a gathering that's hearing from God. Find an apostolic center. Find one of those hubs. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. You know, we're located on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida, a very significant things that have happened since God told us to establish it here. But they're all around the place. North Carolina, you have Morning Star, you have Church of His Presence in Alabama with Pastor John Kilpatrick. Mm-hmm. You have IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle. You have Chuck Pierce, Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He got the good one. He got Texas, man. And so it's amazing what. And so God is doing this all over the place. But you want to get into that place. If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you. Mm-hmm. Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life, and you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Well, give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is visit our sponsors. Visit our sponsors and, you know, shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner, because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's right.
That's actually how it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today and become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers, as the church is, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand, 24/7 VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. But who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you. And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. Visit them. Click on those banners. Say thank you. Send them an email. Or become one today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. I love the smile that he gives. Steve, have you noticed that?
I told you, man, that is the face of coolness right there.
Well, listen, we do have a segment for you. Many have wondered. We have received your inquiries. Mm-hmm. Where does the swag come from? Where does the cool come from? Well, we've discussed it. We have a segment called
In Detail.
Pat and Detail. The Swagger Wagon.
Yes.
One you don't want to miss. Even his clothes say cool.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said. Just VFNTV.com and just search Pat Swagger Wagon. You'll get all the details. We'll fill you in. Mm-hmm. But that has been uncovered. That has been shared. Mm-hmm. And we understand. We understand. We get it. Mm-hmm. And he's so humble. He's so humble at the same time. We're just trying to get there. Steve, talk to us. Yes. And tell us about what you've been reading. I know you're enjoying the Harvest by Rick Joyner. Talk to us about abiding and some of the things that you're picking up from there.
Well, reading this book from Rick Joyner, I mean, this whole book was basically just a prophetic vision that the Lord gave to Rick Joyner, and about just the things that are going to happen in our generation, the things that's going to happen ahead of us in the church. And to read about some of the things that he's been writing has just been absolutely, if I can say, just epic. But at the same time, extremely encouraging. And to hear about, you know, we talk about abiding so much and the emphasis of it and the importance of it and hearing the Lord's voice. And so often, too, it's like we don't really connect those moments of just like when it's just like being able to hear his voice so clearly. And I was reading what Rick Joyner was writing about was basically saying the fact of just how the Holy Spirit just orchestrates his church. You know, we've talked about before, it's just like the role of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does and how he speaks and how he leads. And it's so confirming when you read about this, because what Rick writes in his book, he says, major conferences of apostles and elders will be convened with no invitations being issued, no word being passed concerning these specific conferences. He says the Holy Spirit will speak to each one who is to attend. And he's going to be the one who presides.
It's funny that you say that. Mm. It's funny that you say that, because this book was written when?
This one was written This was the 20 years, so I would say...
So over 20 years.
Yeah, over 20 years ago.
This year, Rick Joyner is having a conference called The Harvest, in which he puts something out. We'll get the date for you. But he sends correspondence out that says that the Lord spoke to him and that this conference is going to be different than any other conference they have done regarding the harvest, and that God was specifically going to speak to individuals, not just speakers, but those that are gathered, and that word, the full counsel of that word is going to be released, you know, at that conference. Exactly what you just said, read right there.
It's huge.
That Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to everybody and that everyone's going to have a piece of it. Continue to share. I thought so cool.
Well, what I love about that is when you read about in John 15, Jesus talks about, he says, I am the vine and you are the branch. He says, my Father's the gardener, right? And what I think about is the fact that Rick Joyner continues on. He says, the Lord himself will be directing the harvest of the world like the most perfectly managed farm. And continue on, he says, the preparation for this great emphasis of the Spirit will be knowing the Lord's voice. And I just sat and I just thought about that, and it was so significant when you think about abiding, and it's just like, this is God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And so often that we can get caught up in looking at the horizontal, looking at all the events and just the world catastrophes and the turmoils and the things that just grip your heart. And you look at our generation is unlike any other, with the amount of social media, with the amount of technology that we can literally communicate to the nations, to the world with the click of a button. You can post a message on social media and literally communicate with 8 billion people. But the thing about it, and it's just like, what would happen if social media goes down? What would happen if your cell phone goes down? What would happen if TV goes down, the internet goes down? There's a lot of people that are going to freak out because that's their only source of communication.
Peace and quiet.
Exactly. Quiet. Imagine technology being utterly gone.
Right.
No technology, no TV, no cable. But to really take that moment and think about that. How do you communicate? How do you reach out to family that's in the other part of a state, in the other side of a city, in the other side of a nation? How do you communicate to somebody in the other side of the world in a different time zone? And to think about it is that God knows those who are his. And what is so encouraging is just like when you can read in the book of John, Jesus talks about that. And he says that the watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought all of his own out, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And I just think about that is so significant because the days are upon us. It's just like you think about if a power goes out or if somebody hits a power line, it's like the whole city's out.
Right. Yeah.
We get a couple inches of snow, a little bit of ice, and again, the power's out.
Right, so why wait for the power to go out? Why wait for there is no internet?
Exactly.
To sit down and have the opportunity to be with God and hear his voice for yourself.
Yeah. And the reason why that we talk about that so significantly is because that we can hear his voice today. Now, you can go on iabide.org, and it's just like, if you don't know the Lord's voice, if you don't know what God's saying, it's just like, God created you. You can read about it in the book of Acts. He says he appointed the times and the places of your life to see if you'd reach out for him and know that he's not far from you. And he's been yearning, he's been longing to want to speak to you, and even more for you not only to hear his voice, but to know his voice.
Wow, that's so, so powerful. Abiding, iabide.org. Sign up today and get your free plan. It doesn't cost you a thing, but it's free. Get it today. You know, I want to share with you regarding something I was reading in the book of John, which I thought was so awesome and amazing because I am so stuck in the Gospels, man. I cannot get out of the Gospels.
Good
the words in red. The words in red, I highly recommend them. And those are Jesus' words, by the way. And I love Jesus. You know, I love him. I love
That's
him.
Good.
That's a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
And I notice as I'm reading that, you know, Jesus' life was extremely complicated, if you will. I mean, on one side of his life, right, he's experiencing every day some of the most amazing things that are occurring. I mean, he is healing blind eyes. He's telling a man to get up off of his mat who has been paralyzed for years and walk.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling a woman who's had an issue of the issue of blood for over 12 years and no doctor can heal her.
Mm-hmm.
She's healed by touching the cloak and he feels virtue, power leave his body. He delivers and set free the man at the tomb because he had legion, which was, you know, maybe over 1,000 demons in him. And he's set free in his right mind. And once mm-hmm. he gives his life to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
he comes off of a mountain and Jairus says, come and pray for my daughter for she's dead. And he raises her from the dead. He sees a man who has a shriveled hand and brings it, says, let your hand be whole.
Mm-hmm.
He sees a man come down from a mat from the roof as he's teaching. And he heals them. I mean, Jesus is doing miraculous things. By the way, that I mentioned, he's walking on water.
Mm-hmm.
He has an experience on the Mount of Transfiguration there. And I mean, Jesus is amazing. Yeah,
that's just what they wrote down.
Exactly.
They said there wasn't enough mm-hmm. books to contain everything.
Volumes to contain.
Right.
He changes water into wine. And he takes a boat to go to a remote place only to find out that there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people waiting for him. He was extremely popular. And he was abiding with God, right, if you will. He was praying every morning when the disciples would find him. He was alone by the mountainside praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one aspect of Jesus' life.
Right.
And then the other aspect of, he has religious people of the day, Pharisees who want to literally kill him. They want him gone. They want him murdered. They want him dead. And he's combating and dealing with all of this stuff. And it's like, it's totally, totally amazing. I'm reading John 7. It's like, you know, Jesus was so good to let the main thing be the main thing. Oftentimes people, you hear that statement, it's not personal, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with God, it's not personal. It's, you know, it's spiritual. It's, oh, it's spiritual. But he didn't fall to the left or he didn't fall to the right. I mean, I'm reading in John, and this is what it says, John chapter 7, verse 1. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, listen to this, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. They're being sarcastic with Jesus, his brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 5 says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Wow. And you think about the humility of Christ. You think about the humility of Jesus. On one side of his life, he doesn't fall because he's fully God, fully man. And the best way I guess I can describe this, and forgive me for the analogy, but, you know, he leaves his Superman cape, if you will, in heaven and lives on earth as Clark Kent, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you think at any certain time, if it was me, I would have said something by now. But thank God it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. But Jesus' humility doesn't even respond to me. He didn't fall to the praises of men. He didn't have a paparazzi and an entourage, and he didn't have, you know, announcement mm-hmm. bulletins saying he was arriving at a certain city. He didn't have all of that. He didn't fall to the praises of men, nor did he fall and become bitter and offended of the attacks of the Pharisees. Can you imagine? He's God, and they're hurling insults at him while he's on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not mm-hmm. what they do.
Amazing.
The Bible says that he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And you look back and you think about these things, you say, he was absolutely amazing. And he gives us an example of how we're to live, how we can carry this out. When we get back from the break, we're going to find out, you know, why didn't Jesus fall to the left, to the right? What was it? One of the things was he understood how people were, that they were fickle. One day it's Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The other day it's crucify, crucify, crucify. But when we get back from this break, we're going to share some more. Remember, it's not personal, it's spiritual.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. I remember when I had to hire folks for employment and fire folks, and I just never liked doing that. It uncomfortable, man. Yeah. It was I would stay up all night. I mean, it was the most difficult thing in the world for me to do. I mean, just could not do. I was horrible at it, and I think I was more nervous than the person. It was like, it's okay, it's all right, I understand. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, I'm sorry. And I used to work with a gentleman at one time. He was like the general manager at one place I worked, and I was another manager, and we would we had to, you know, fire some folks. He would have me come in the office with him, and we would speak to the employee. And he had such an amazing way, or interesting way of
unique.
Yeah, unique. That's a good way. Unique way of letting people go, firing them. When he would say like, Pat, listen, I brought you in here to the office. I want to talk about your performance, and I just want to let you know that we appreciate your efforts here at the job and what you're doing. But as of right now, we're terminating your employment, and we appreciate you giving a good effort and trying, and thank you very much. And if you need anything else, you know, please feel free to let us know. But we're, you know, thank you very much. And he'd walk out,
short and sweet,
and they look at me like, "Did I just get fired?" Like, and they were like, okay, you know, and it's like, wow, just like that. And he was able to do it, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my goodness,
smooth. Wow, that's so smooth.
And it was interesting, and the key phrase here is that we're terminating your employment, not you, the employment. So they're able to save face because they can say, hey, you know,
hey, that's right, hey, they got rid of my job. It wasn't me, after all.
I feel so much better that I didn't get fired.
It was my employment.
But my employment got terminated.
My job got removed from me.
Oh my goodness.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about, Steve, it's not personal. Mm. It's spiritual. Jesus understood that although he had some of the most greatest miracles happening in his life and in his ministry, and he was touching so many people, this is a man who came who taught with authority, and they recognized this man was not a studied man. Who is he? With what authority is he coming teaching? And he's healing people, performing these miracles. And people are coming by the droves. He walks on water. He turns water into wine. And he makes a couple of fish and some pieces of bread into a feast. I mean, he does everything. Even the wind obeys him. And he doesn't fall to any the pride of life. He doesn't fall to that. Nor does he fall to the people that are trying to attack him, and even his own brothers did not believe in him. Jesus understood. He understood, one, that people were fickle, that one day they'd say, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the next day they'd say, Crucify, Crucify. And he also knew that he was in vertical relationship with God the Father. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, he was able to rise above both instances. He wasn't able to lower himself and fall to either one, because he understood that his relationship with Father God, he was united with him. And I love the humility that exists in the Trinity. I mean, every time you see Jesus talking about the Father, it's always about bringing glory to the Father. Mm-hmm. It's about obeying what the Father instructed him to do. I only say and do what I hear the Father only do what I see the Father do, you know, doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives to glorify the Father. I mean, that's it. And then you have the Holy Spirit, who's always, you know, revealing what Jesus taught. It's like, you know, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send mm-hmm. you the Holy Spirit. He'll remind you of what I told you, you know, and showed you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Father is always backing the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's a whole bunch of sins that God will forgive, but the unpardonable sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And there's such a beautiful, humility in the Trinity. It's just mm-hmm. absolutely beautiful. But I think about, Pat, something that you shared with me one time that just won't leave me. It just wrecks me every single time I think about it. To understand, you know, really what Jesus did when he walked on the face of this earth, we need a paradigm. We need a way to view this. Because I think oftentimes people miscredit the miracles, Jesus' life. The great way that he loved in the midst of amazing hatred, mm-hmm. you know, the teaching, everything that he did, the miracles, they discredit it because they think that Jesus did all of that, you know, while he was wearing his Superman cape because he was God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? No. Everything that Jesus did is when he laid his Superman cape down, he's fully God, fully man, and he did it as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that paradigm, mm-hmm. you go, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. And you're like, oh, okay, wow. But you shared something with me. I don't know if you remember this one time. He says, Jesus leaving heaven. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, you know, Book of John. Jesus was there in the beginning. But then Jesus left the splendor of heaven and came down to the earth, born of a virgin, and forever will have a body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scars in his hand. What was that like? To leave all of that splendor and then pay the ultimate price for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this. You said...
Oh, yeah.
You remember it?
Oh, yeah. It wrecked me when I heard it. It's the only thing you can compare it to. You know, obviously, it's greater than this, but just for our own human ability to even consider what this would be like, it'd be like one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about an anthill and how insignificant an ant is, small, tiny little thing, you step on them when they bite you, and you just go on by them, and they're an annoyance, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do all we can just try to kill them. But it'd be like Jesus leaving heaven. The only thing you can compare it to is like one of us becoming an ant in hopes to save these ants. Wow. Knowing one day these ants you're going to try and save will actually turn on you and kill you.
Think about that. Leaving the splendor of earth, wealth, the luxuries.
Splendor of heaven.
No, this new analogy that Pat's given us. Living all of this as a man,
mm-hmm.
your human interaction, all the things that we enjoy, reason, understanding, all the knowledge that we possess compared to an ant, to humble ourselves in such a way, because he says he humbled himself and became a servant and even became obedient to the cross, and to live this life as an ant to save ants, and you think, and with the knowledge of heaven, I mean, you still have the knowledge of earth and all the splendor, and you're hearing the foolishness of the ants, the foolishness of man, you know, and they're trying to tell you yes, and then there's this great God who hovers around us with great wind, and every time they come and cuts down our trees, and we fear for our lives, and no, that's a lawnmower that's circling above you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it's like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't attack. You just say yes, obedient. This is what Jesus left. We know it's a weak analogy, but at least it helps us to get on a track to try to understand
mm-hmm.
how much we were loved and still are loved by God. God loves you so much. And when God said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? Jesus made a conscientious effort to leave the splendors of heaven for us, for me, for you, so that we can be in eternity with him. And it's such a beautiful thing. He didn't fall to the left. He didn't fall to the right. He understood his purpose. He understood what he was here to do. And the question is, do we understand our purpose? Do we get caught up in maybe the praises of men and we totally miss it? Do we get caught up in the attacks of what people are saying, which are being used by some, you know, they're being used, you know, they're mouthpiece. It's not personal, it's spiritual. And if you don't know that, that you need to stay on track, you know, you gotta be walking with God. And one of the ways that the enemy would try to sidetrack you and get you, derail you off of your vision and off of your destiny with God is through a spirit of offense. I mean, they were just throwing so many arrows of offense against the Lord. How many times have you read the Bible and you're like, oh my goodness.
I get mad just reading it.
Think about it.
He said what?
They're hurling insults at him. They're pulling at his beard. And at any moment, because people that don't know God, they're saying, well, why didn't Jesus come off the cross? And why didn't he understand? Well, like he told Pontius Pilate, you can't take my life. Don't get it twisted here. You can't take my life. I lay it down. And I'm just, every time I read that, I go, Jesus, you're amazing. You're amazing. Understand that he was very clear in his purpose and his understanding of why he came here. And we can too. He will empower us. He will help us. Don't get it twisted. Don't allow a spirit of offense to derail you. And now you're responding in the flesh and you're being taken down with bitterness and hate because you took something personally. Understand that what God's called you to do is so important. Stay focused upon the Lord. Abide with him. Let the love of God fill your heart. Keep your head low. Keep Jesus high. And understand why you're here. It's to glorify him and to get the job done for him. We have such a short amount of time here on this earth. The Bible says life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. It's not personal, it's spiritual. Let's focus on Jesus and the cross and being and returning with him and being with him one day soon. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.